So if you didn't just join us for our Let's Talk on Romance as a Genre, you should have. But we set up what we're going to talk about now, which is basically realism versus idealism in smut. And the idea of romance around porn, but also just porn around porn. How it's approached in fic and the perspective of smut in fic, both from within fandom and without fandom. So the first thing I really want to touch on is to talk a little bit about the purpose and the commercialization of commercial porn. So pornography of any kind that people are in some way paying for, whether that is watching ads or being on a website with ads, or paying for someone's OnlyFans or subscription to a website or a Playboy magazine. I am sure that is still possible and people still do that. I have not seen a Playboy magazine in many moons, but they must still be out there. Don't tell me, if you know that Playboy went under something, don't tell me. It's foundation. Anyway, the fundamental point of commercialized porn is to keep people consuming it. Just like with so many other things we are being sold, the goal is to get you to keep coming back, either because it keeps you paying your subscription fees or because it keeps you looking at ads, clicking on links on their website, whatever it is, the goal is to keep you watching. The goal is not to educate you about sex or help you explore your own sexuality or help you explore the world of kink. Fundamentally, the point is to take your money or take you as data that represents money. And so that being said, that makes the collision of sex education and pornography a Venn diagram of what you can and can't learn from porn. And I've got to include fic in this as well, because not just fundamentally because most of us have been exposed to and learned first from commercialized pornography in some way, whether it's erotic fiction or, going on Pornhub, but also because we as writers are, even on AO3, our goal is still to have people enjoy themselves and come back for more, not necessarily to teach people things or, you know, we don't even generally know what our target market is because the range of people on the internet is so vast and we have no control over who's reading our fics. So we can't say that it is a targeted piece of, you know, education material. So at the end of the day, my point is that the goal of porn is to arouse you. It's for you to have a good time, or to enjoy watching other people be aroused or be interested in watching other people be aroused enough that you want to consume more. And for a lot of people who enjoy reading erotic fiction, it's just to have a sensual experience, whether that is physical for you or not. For many people, it's just the stimulation in your brain of reading about people being physically aroused or whatever it is that you get from it.
And for people who specifically don't seek out erotic fiction, for people who experience sex within other fiction, like within romance novels or within other things, they would not necessarily put this together in their brain, but they still experience the same titillated feelings that we do. There's usually just more conversation about, well, I'll only read the sex scenes if it serves a bigger plot point.
Just like with a lot of the things that we talk about, the tropes that drive us, the parts of the relationship that drive us, a lot of it comes down to emotional catharsis. And when you're reading something erotic, it's generally either a form of emotional catharsis or physical catharsis, or it's an echo of a physical catharsis that you don't have to repeat physically yourself. So if you're not actively masturbating, you can still read about somebody else finding pleasure and it will light up similar parts of your brain. So, you know, it's just about that cathartic experience, however it plays out in detail for you.
Yeah. We just want to say, however you first encountered it and however you encounter it now, is you're still getting the same stuff. Yeah. Your body's still reacting the same way, which is why a lot of you who say to us, well, I learned about sex from fic, you're not alone. There's a lot of people that learned about sex from fic, and a lot of people that learned about sex from books and a lot of people that learned about sex from porn, because there is no country in the world that is good at sex ed. Not a single damn fucking one.
Yep.
Not a single one. And so we all learn about stuff via our friends, whether those friends are internet friends or those friends are people we watch on Pornhub. We all learn from other humans and generally not in formalized education. So if you've always carried some sort of sense of shame that you learned this stuff, we release you from that. Actually, it's less normal to not learn from these kind of things, even if that's not the purpose. And that's what we want to talk about now, that you can learn things, even though we want to drive home again, as Ferret said, I want you to hear me say it too. The purpose of porn is never to educate.
So with this collision, what we end up with is material that can educate you, but isn't obligated to, isn't expected to, and has no boundaries or curriculum or oversight to ensure that it's educating you correctly. Yes, it's not culpable. There's no accountability. There's no responsibility. And there's no way of being, of verifying the validity of your sources, because you could be learning this from someone with even less sexual experience than you. So what can you learn from porn? There are lots of things about sex that you can learn from porn, things about sex itself and things about you yourself. Flame, I know that for you, one of the most important things that you feel is words and language is a big thing that you can get from reading porn, that that's valuable, vital information and capacity for you to not just know what questions to ask, but know how to describe things, know what you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to people who had no idea what a clitoris was until they read that word in a fic or in a book.
Right.
And that's an important word to know if one is going to engage in sex with somebody who contains female reproductive organs. Like, that's a really important word. I've met people who didn't know what a uterus was until they read about it in a story. I've met people that didn't know that nipples were erotic until they read about it in a story. And so the fact that their breasts and their nipples got really, really sensitive during their period, they thought there was something wrong with them and they didn't even know how to ask that question out loud. And they read about it in a fic and they were like, oh, this is why. And then you know what to Google in a way.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I was younger, 17 Magazine used to have like write-in things where you could ask sex questions. And if I read nothing else in every month 17, I read that feature.
I remember reading the sex advice in Cosmo a lot. And a lot of it went over my head, but like we'd steal it from our moms and then be like, what's a blowjob?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a lot of you don't know what you don't know. And so this can teach you what is in the range of human sexuality, which is wide and beautiful and often overwhelming when you first start exploring sexuality, both in your own body and with others. I think that's important. It's also very important for people who grow up in not sex positive environments, whether that's your whole country is not sex positive, your family is not sex positive. It's incredibly important to have a space that is not judgmental to learn those questions and learn those things. I was having a conversation a couple of weeks ago with somebody who grew up in Saudi Arabia, for instance, and happened to grow up in a particularly extreme family, even within the extreme modesty culture that can exist within that country, and had a really, really, did not ever speak to her mother about getting her period, like ever. And it wasn't until she went to university in America that she learned what the word tampon was in English and could like figure it all out. And she learned what that all meant from things she illegally downloaded on the internet.
Right.
And so like that in some ways, very much almost like bizarrely and not to be cheap, but like saved her life in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And so we are terrible as human beings in talking about bodies. Atrocious at it for a whole host of reasons.
Even in what seemed to be very open or, you know, the, like you say, no country, even ones with otherwise excellent curriculums, no country is good at sex ed.
No, because no one's going to teach a teenager how to have an orgasm.
Yeah.
Like that's, no one's going to do it. And if you went to a school that did it, like that's a unicorn, but like no government I can think of is going to sanction teaching teenagers how to have an orgasm. And having an orgasm is a vital part of is a vital part in terms of like, it's a major function, not that it's necessary, of sexual experience. We are generally taught about sexual experience entirely from a procreative standpoint, even though the highest number of nerve endings in the human body is on sex organs. So
it's okay, Flame.
Oh my God, it makes me so mad. Why I love exposing people to these fictional worlds is that there's no danger in these explorations mentally. And it can really normalize feelings and hormones. I love it in particular now for people who do not feel sexual attraction in their offline life, that fic and stories are teaching them that that's also normal and okay. I was going to say, and it gives them a language for it. I love that so much.
Yes, I've definitely heard a lot of, I think that sexuality, the nature of human sexuality, the breadth of human sexuality is something that fic can be great at teaching. There's a lot of different forms of relationships that most people aren't going to necessarily see in real life these days, or, you know, there's no one in their family that are living these sorts of relationships. And so getting to read about them and see the different ways that people can connect and the different kinds of emotional connections and sexual connections that people can form is something that fic absolutely teaches us. And like you say, I think that fundamentally what we get out of it is the starting block. It's the words to use, it's the questions to ask, it's the opening of the eyes to other possibilities. And that's all really important foundational stuff for building a healthy mindset towards sexuality and a healthy relationship with your own sexual experience, whether that is having sex with another person or having sexual encounters by yourself or not having those things. Those are all choices and explorations everyone does for themselves. And reading about sex and reading people's descriptions of sex acts and sexual relationships is a way for everybody to get that start of how they relate to these kinds of things for themselves. That being said, there's a lot you also can't learn from porn, or that is so commonly idealized instead of realistic in porn that it's not going to give you an accurate representation of what sexual activity is actually like in real life, if that's what you're seeking. There's a lot of misplaced anatomy in erotic fiction, even in, you know, edited, published, traditionally published erotic fiction. There's a lot of questionable anatomy. Sometimes that's simply because of a lack of knowledge. Obviously, we are two women here talking. We both write a lot of men having sex, and there's only so much that you can know about that experience from a distance and how much research someone chooses to do or how much research someone has the access to. Flame and I both live with penis wielders and can test things out and ask questions. Not everybody does. So, you know, everyone's capability for writing anatomy and anatomically correct erotica is also varies. But also people's desire to do that varies. Maybe they want to write a different kind of anatomy, and you don't know whether the reason why things look a little different down there is because people vary like that in real life, or because the person writing it didn't know that they were doing it wrong, or
they're writing a and they just made up a whole separate thing.
Yeah, it's a whole other fantasy world. And this is all, you know, imagine coming across ABO and having no idea that it was like a trope with these rules. You could totally believe if you don't own a penis that most penises have knots on them.
Yeah, especially because some porn, the way some porn is edited, God, they could. So
yeah. Ooh. So and that gets us back to also like visual pornography. Not just not like fan art, but even into real on-camera couples having sex. just like with movie magic, a lot of that isn't presented to you actually factually the way that it was done to make the movie happen. There are things they do. There are drugs a lot of them take. A lot of men in porn are taking Viagra to keep their erection. There's cuts, film cuts. There's fake orgasms. There's a lot of acting. They're actors. They're acting. And while it may be arousing and it may be a wonderfully idyllic view of sex, and you may enjoy that, you can't trust that you're getting an accurate portrayal. And that is true of erotic fiction as well. A lot of us never claim to write realistic sex. I certainly do not. All of the sex in my fix, I do my best to make it plausible, but it's idealistic in that it's plausible, but too beautiful to be real. So there's a lot of like the perfect sex TM is how a lot of fic writers approach it. They're not going to talk about someone falling off the bed or someone farting or someone falling asleep halfway through or drunk people being too drunk to actually get it up or the embarrassing waddle to the bathroom after or kids interrupting, pets interrupting, someone knocks on the door, the time you think you can get finished up before the pizza arrives, but you don't, losing sex toys in your body.
Yeah, or the time that women think they're wet enough and ready and then they're not and there's no more lube. Like there's so much. And I think it's one of the things I appreciate about the Discord spaces I'm in is that it does provide people space to ask sex questions, especially for those people who haven't had any level of physical intercourse or intimacy, and they say that, and then they can ask those of us that have some degrees. And I love answering questions. I've had people come into my DMs and say, I know you say you ask Mr. Flame questions, can you ask him this question for my fic? And
I've done that too.
Loves being helpful.
Mr. Ferret, I have a question about your penis.
Exactly. Sometimes I'll look at him and be like, so in this scenario, and he'll sit there and think, and he'll be like, no, but they can still write it. It might get somebody off. And it's hard. I have a lot of gay male friends that I ask very specific questions about. Like I very famously write a whole hell of a lot of blowjobs. And one of those is because my friend that talks to me the most about his sex life, his favorite thing is blowjobs. And so I hear the most stories about those. He is not as into anal as a lot, because that's one of the other things about gay sex that like I know he would ask me to tell you guys, not every gay dude is into anal. It's just not a thing that has to happen. Not every single sexual encounter needs to be like a multi-orgasmic situation. All of that stuff is the beautiful fantasy. We all want it to be multiple orgasmic situation. We all want everybody to come and everybody to be pleased and all of those endorphins and all of those wonderful things. But like the couple coming together often takes a lot of practice. It's not necessarily something that just happens the way it just does in fic because we're so overwhelmed with love. It's a lot more, bodies are just fucking weird, man.
Yeah.
Like you're just fucking weird. And the thing that you thought was going to get you off and always get you off, this one day doesn't because your head's in a different place.
Yeah. You know, it can entirely not be the other person's problem that you suddenly find out you're making your grocery list in your head. Like there's a mental component and there's a physical component, and it's entirely possible you're going to have control over neither of those things. And that's something and that we often actively choose to leave out in fic because it isn't the purpose of what we're trying to do. We are trying to titillate. We're trying to be erotic. We're trying to be idealistic and create these moments that feel just the edge of too good to be true, because that's the purpose of the fiction that we're creating. And if you ask that to be educational, then you have to sacrifice the idealism, because education has to be realistic. It has to be pragmatic. You have to talk about the farting because it does happen. And so we can't have both of those things exist. And I think it's unfair to ask for fiction to give up on the joy and freedom and beauty of chasing that like platonic ideal of a feeling.
Chasing the euphoria, because that's what it is. And that's what we're trying to do in a lot of ways. And yeah, it's inappropriate. It's an inappropriate ask of fiction to sacrifice that so that people understand that you have to pee after that a vagina needs to pee after it has a penis in it. Like,
UTIs are fun for no one. Seriously. Absolutely no one. If you have pee. A vagina, please pee after sex.
if you don't know this, just have some cranberry juice in your fridge and down a glass every once in a while. If you are a vagina owner who lives with or who interacts with a penis wielder, just a tip. Pro tip from anti-flare on that part. I've written a fic where the sex got interrupted a bunch because that was the point of the fic. The point of the fic was that Sam and Bucky's daughters kept interrupting them and they kept trying to figure out creative ways to have sex without their elementary school children finding them. And that was a really fun challenge. And I loved writing that. I write way more fics where I've sent the scenes to friends of mine and they've been like, no one has sex like that, but that was really hot. I'm like, thank you. That was the point.
Yeah.
The other thing that fic cannot teach you and porn cannot teach you and anything else, and this is a little bit, again, like anti-flare-it moment here, but we want to make this very clear. It cannot tell you what you are ready to do or what you are going to enjoy.
Yep. It can start to give you ideas. It can start the processes. It can certainly give you kinks, which you weren't expecting to get. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the physicality of sex and especially being physical with other people in whatever ways you do that, it can't answer that question for you.
When I taught sex ed, one of the things I always told my students was that if you aren't ready to say the anatomy words out loud, it's very possible you're not ready to have the anatomy touch you.
Yeah.
And I still stand by that. I still think that that's a thing you need to be comfortable with in order to engage in that.
And that's another thing that is often skipped when we're doing this beautiful sex TM in fiction. And this is the same because this is something that also you don't have to see the actual sex to have these kinds of things reinforced, even rom-coms and other romantic TV shows, movies, stuff like that fade to black. One thing that you very rarely see is pragmatic conversations about sex. And in fic, a lot of times it's the heated moment. They smash into each other. It's all clothes tearing off and teeth and tongues and everybody has a great time. But in reality, most of the time, there are several conversations that lead up to sex, whether you're picking someone up in a bar or having sex with your long-term partner or having sex for the first time with a long-term partner. You use your mouth to talk before you apply it to genitals. So, and leaving that out is part of the process of making this feel more magical than it is, because this idea that you can read each other's minds and you just know what each other wants and everything you try is the sexiest thing the other person has ever experienced is part of the idealism part and not part of the realism part. So it can be hard to tease apart to separate the things that are being shown to you that are realistic and the things that are not. Because, you know, we can say, oh, it'll help you figure out your emotions towards sex, but it won't help you figure out how to talk to a partner about sex, except it will, because it'll start giving you the words, but it won't help giving you the confidence to say them necessarily.
And the other thing too, is that the issue of consent is something in fics and in fiction is often portrayed as something that happens once. Whereas there are lots of ways to communicate about consent throughout the sexual experience, no matter who it's with or how long you've been with that person. And there's a lot of traditionally published romance now that has a whole lot of affirmative consent throughout the whole sexual experience. And a lot of readers are like, man, this takes me out of the moment. And there are other readers that are like, oh my God, thank goodness, because I need that. So this is the more and more people are exploring how to write sex scenes, there's going to be more and more, your mileage may vary on exactly what you want. I wrote an ABO fic. It's actually my most popular ABO fic. And I explicitly have Steve's and Omega in distress. And I specifically have Tony realize that he entered Steve's nest without getting consent. and like the whole smell of the room changes and Tony steps back out and is like, oh my God, I forgot to ask. I'm so sorry. And some of the longest comments I've gotten are about the decision that decision that I put in the fic, like, well, there's not enough affirmative consent. Thank you so much for this. Consent is sexy. But I definitely also get like, man, that took me out of the moment. And I was like, well, cool. The moment wasn't that wasn't the point of that scene, but I get what you're saying. Here's all of my other porn. Like I usually link them to other people actually. Cause I'm like, actually, this is kind of how I write sex is I write it a little bit more realistically than a lot of other people. And that's just me. Like I always have that bit of it in it. But if you,
that realisticness is also going to vary hugely between people. Some people who've been in relationships for a long time, they don't have to use words at all. They just look at each other and it's like, yeah, we're going to go bang. And there's no need to have out loud affirmative consent at that point. The negotiation of what consent is varies hugely depending on the culture, depending on the moment, depending on your relationship with the person. So how sexy that is for you also is going to vary hugely based on your experiences and what you're looking for in a relationship. So in that sense, it can help you determine if that's something that you do find sexy.
Absolutely. And the other thing too is that just a heads up, more people have conversations during sex than fiction ever portrays.
Yeah. It's the time when the music swells and nobody uses their words, but like most people talk a lot.
Most people talk a lot. And sometimes it's like, I mean, legitimately, like, no joke. We have had like actual conversations about things stuff.
Did you let the dog out today?
Yeah, exactly. Did we remember to turn the oven off?
What do you want for dinner after?
Exactly. Oh, I'm getting a cramp.
Oh, yeah. The older you get, the more it's like, oh, fuck my hip. Just a minute.
Okay, you have to hurry up or I'm going to need to move. Like those are really, really normal conversations. And every single person, no matter their gender or their sexuality that I know, has to tell the other person what their body is doing. And that's just part of this.
The mind reading is real.
That's never in fiction. And like, sometimes I want it in there, but most of the time I don't. And so in terms of reality expectations, like one of my biggest pet peeves about sex in fiction, in published fiction, is that like no one ever has to move because something is cramping. No one ever, like sometimes that level of it takes me out of it and it isn't as titillating as it could be. Cause sometimes I really just want to know that like my body could do those things and I could put myself in that position. Hmm. And I have a real thing with like, my other thing is female virgins orgasming the first time. Like that's a big pet peeve of mine. Like it's just, oh man. That was a process for a whole lot of my female friends and myself in full disclosure. So like,
I do think that there's like a whole other conversation here too about why a lot of people might want to experience porn or read erotic fiction that's about bodies they don't have, because there's a degree of separation where you can just believe that all of this is possible because you're not up against the wall of your own memories and experiences for it. And we can talk about that when we talk about why do women like reading male.
why do more women write and read male than men? Yes, I have lots of data to back that up because people have written PhDs on that. So
they sure have.
It's fascinating. But anyway, I say all of that kind of vaguely oversharey, first of all, because I don't think it should be oversharey. I don't think that I should feel embarrassed to say these things. I don't think that, I think the any feelings of like, oh, we shouldn't talk about this is cultural more than anything else. And sex is a part of life for a whole lot of people. And it's one of those things that you kind of have to have an opinion on for yourself. It's not a passive entity. And it's something we just need to be more comfortable talking about, which I think is one of the gifts that fic has given to a whole lot of people, is not only knowing anatomy, but knowing slang words and knowing different slang words in different cultures and understanding things and all of that kind of stuff to circle back. But we want to make it clear too that part of reading this and experiencing these things and having the emotion and is part of the separating fantasy from reality is realizing that no matter how many times you read people doing these things, even if they have the body you have or they have the body you want to have, is not you. and it's not the partner you're going to have or the partners you're going to have, it's not you. And that's okay. If you're in the middle of something that you read about and you want to give it a try and it's not working, you know what? It's not working. And that's it. That's cool. You can be done with that. And there's not, it's not a manual, and that's okay.
It's not a manual, but it can be a guiding light. I think that's kind of what we're coming around to.
Yeah. I like that phrase. Yeah. It's not a manual, but it can be a lighthouse. Yeah.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, we want to say, if you're writing super idealized or super fictionalized porn, don't feel bad that you're not educating people. It's not your responsibility to do that. Your porn can be as pie in the sky as you want it to be. That's totally fine. I also don't think that there's an obligation to tag things to make it clear that the sex is fake. Part of learning how to deal with fiction and reality that young people need to learn and should be learning in school is that they're not always going to be warned that something isn't real, and they need to be able to start learning how to tease those things apart. Every other points, every country is bad at sex ed. If you have knowledge, then I think sharing it is a good thing. I think everybody who shows they're comfortable talking about sex, especially us older fandomy people to some of the younger fandomy people, can only be a good thing. And once, you know, once we're raising generations that are comfortable talking about sex, they're going to raise generations that are even more comfortable talking about sex. And this is something that can shift and change and already has. And if you want to know more, then fic isn't a bad thing to experience, but take everything with a grain of salt. Know that there are tons of excellent resources out there for legitimate education material about sex. We're going to link Oh Joy Sex Toy for sure in the show notes, because it's a fantastic education source. And there's a couple of other ones that you know, we'll link a couple links that'll also have ways for you to get to other resources. I think that pornography in all of its various ways can be part of your sexual experience, and you shouldn't feel ashamed about that. And that, you know, education encapsulates a lot of things. And some of that is learning to be inside your own body. And some of that is just practice. And fic gives us a good place to practice some of that. So thank you, fic, but also thank you, sex education, when it's done well. And those things can coincide and collide in certain places without having expectations that the other will do their job.